So glad you're with us here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here, and looking for your ideas for programs that you'd like to hear during this 11 to 12:30 time slot. I have my pen at hand. Jim Packard's already with his pencils, and we're ready to take your suggestions. So if you have some ideas, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Emails help, too. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'll turn right to Mary in Madison. Mary, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Yes, sometime in 2006, Andrew Hipp gave a lecture at the Arboretum in Madison about savanna evolution, the evolution of the savanna habitat. And his last name is H-I-P-P, and he was formerly a ranger at the Madison Arboretum, but I believe he's with Morton Arboretum in Illinois now.
Okay. So you'd like to have him talk about that topic on the show?
Yes.
We could do that perhaps on either our Wednesday show or Friday show, one or the other. Probably a Wednesday show would work better. But we've got the name. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mark in Green Bay, we're on to you now. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Sure.
I've been listening to you since the days back when you were reading the prices of agricultural commodities, so I'm a long-time listener.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. And there's certain programs that have kind of lapsed that you didn't pick back up. I know he had issues with Matt Joseph and his car programs. Mm-hmm. We all drive cars. We still need advice. If you could get some kind of guest that could come in that would do, you know, just practical application kind of things with cars like you do your home improvement things. Also, I used to have Mary Menes on. She was a home economist. No one took her place after she left, and those kind of there's not that kind of advice on your program anymore.
Mary
Menes, if you could look into those, too, I'd appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, Mary's been long retired, but we can look into that. And she did a lot of food safety and food preparation handling.
Yeah, that's right, and there must be someone in the department that took her place.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mark.
Sure.
Yeah, appreciate it. And, you know, when Mary was a great guest. When she was on, we always had lots and lots of calls. So Sue Nitzke kind of handles some of it, not really, though. So we'll check into that and see what we can come up with. Eric in La Crosse, on to you. Hi, Eric.
Yes, I was wondering if you could bring somebody on from the USGS to discuss the recent seismic activity under Yellowstone.
Yes. All right. I've got it. Thank you. Appreciate that call. Man, it's always good. You guys always come up with great ideas. Ron and Wanakee. Hi, Ron.
It's Wamandy, actually.
Oh, Wamandy. Sorry.
Anyway, I have an idea about having a show about the American Birkebeiner ski race. I don't know if you've ever done that. But, I mean, it's the biggest race in the country. And Ned Zielsdorf, who you've had on before when you used to work for the State Department of Ag, runs the thing now. And he would be a very good
Zielsdorf. Well, we could
very
talk.
Good guess.
Yeah, we could talk about that. Ned knows a lot about cross country skiing too, just in general.
Well, yeah, in general, and you do, you know, shows and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's an amazing thing to try to put this thing on, and all the, you know, complications that go on with it, and you know how many people are like myself obsessed with it. And you know, it's a Wisconsin. Wisconsin thing, so I think it'd be a really interesting show. And you can get a hold of him at Berkey.com.
Berkey.com.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Ron. Berkey.com. Better write that down. .com. All right. Kurt in Madison. We're on to you now. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. I think it would be nice to have someone that has woodworking skills for the amateurs that are trying to get into it, knowledge of pros and cons of. This is just an example of, you know, using a biscuit joint versus dovetail versus Craig jig, you know, and some knowledge of basic power tools so that, like me, if I'm trying to decide whether or not, you know, how much money to spend before it's a waste on, like, getting something more expensive like a planer or a joiner. So.
All right. Got it down. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate the call. And Jim's got it down, too. Steve in Fish Creek, we're on to you. Steve.
Hey, I'm kind of hopscotching on the last guest, but he was talking about a woodworking expert, and I happen to know somebody in Door County who's top-notch who could do such a thing. You could find Michael Doerr, Michael, D-O-E-R-R, at michaeldoerr.com. But he would be he's a fine arts woodworker, and he builds award-winning furniture. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
Michael Doerr is cool, but I'm concerned about the night skies. And living in Door County, I watch this blessing we have over our heads, and I'm often concerned about people who don't understand well enough about how to design the proper lighting to protect that natural resource of the night sky. And it's a big year for astronomy this year, and it would be a great show to talk about protecting and preserving the dark skies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Adam in Rockford, your turn. Hi, Adam.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an avid listener to a lot of your nature shows mm-hmm. with Scott Craven and stuff like that, and I hear a lot of people calling in with questions about how to deal with perceived pests that may or may not be pests and whatnot, and I thought that a little awareness on the interaction between different species and stuff might help people understand that not everything, just because you have 1,000 of them, doesn't mean that they're a pest and whatnot. And I was thinking that there's a naturalist school, kind of naturalist training school called Wilderness Awareness School, founded by a guy named John Young, that really studies the interplay of different species and how they relate to one another, and is something truly harmful or beneficial to the ecosystem. And I thought that some type of a show might be helpful to people mm-hmm. in the area. And that was wildernessawareness.org is the website.
Awareness.org. And the name of the organization was
Wilderness Awareness School.
Oh, Wilderness Awareness School, okay.
And he also deals a lot with tracking animals and primitive living skills and things like that I think may be of interest to some of your listeners.
Yeah, and as you, I'm sure you know, our Wednesday shows, we try to zero in on the environment, so that sounds like something that could work well in a Wednesday show.
Yeah, and there's also a tracker school, which also trains people in primitive living skills and to have a greater respect for the earth instead of just going and eradicating, like I say, self-perceived pests and stuff, other ways to deal with them or just to learn to live with them and mm-hmm. get along.
Thank you.
That was trackerschool.com, I believe. That's Tom Brown Jr.
Tom Brown Jr. Okay. All right. Thanks, Adam.
Great. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. And we did a show on tracking. It's been a long time now, but it's been a while back. Boyd in Milwaukee, we're on to you now. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Larry, or actually good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Happy New Year.
To you as well.
I know in the past you've had a couple shows. You did one on Edgar Allan Poe around Halloween a few years ago, and you've done one on Charles Darwin. I'm wondering if you can do, considering it's Poe's birthday is coming up this month, and it's going to be the bicentennial, if you could do another show on him, and then next month, if you can do both a show on Lincoln and on Darwin. And the reason I wanted to throw Lincoln in there was they were both born on the same day of the same year,
yeah.
And it's going to be the bicentennial of their birthdays as well. So I thought something like that would be a lot of fun.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, appreciate the call. I was trying to remember. I think Kathleen actually did a show on Lincoln and Darwin. I'm not positive. I'll have to check on that. But we'll look into it. Stevens Point, on to you. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for taking our comments.
Sure.
Habitat for Humanity. I think that program, I serve on the board at Central Wisconsin Habitat, and we do a lot of good work all over the world, and I think it would be good to get somebody on to talk about not only what it takes to be a partner family, but also the good work that we're doing.
Uh-huh. Makes good sense. Thank you. Appreciate the call. All right. Lots of good calls here. Vern in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Vern.
Hello, Larry. Hey, you know, we live in Wisconsin, and we have one of the most historical states, and very little is ever done about it. And I was thinking maybe one day a month would be a good time to have something of the history of Wisconsin.
History of Wisconsin.
I mean, because really, there's a lot of interesting history here. And then, and we know so little about it.
You know, and we sometimes cover it as part of, you know, we have authors on.
Yeah, yeah, I know you do, and I always enjoy them.
But that's something for us to kind of keep in mind, and it's a nice way to do it, is to have, when there's a new book out or another book out that has to do with the history of Wisconsin, it makes a nice tie-in to do a show that way.
Yeah, but it's just, we got so much history here.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's mostly unknown, you know, unless you've got somebody who's an aficionado of history. But I think that would be a very good idea, and I know I'd appreciate it.
All right, Vern, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Leslie in Preston, Minnesota, we are on to you now. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Larry. Now that the deer hunting season is over, I think I could write a book about the unethical hunting ways that people hunt around here, but I think in the past you've had on guests that talked about ethical hunting and training kids and all that, where I think more needs to be done before the season starts next year.
Yeah.
On just private property and dealing with people with land and just the ethical ways of hunting, not shooting and blasting from your truck.
Absolutely. That I'd be happy to do. Thank you, Leslie.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. And by the way, you can join in as well at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'll be glad to get your program ideas, too. We have lots of good ones here. On to Bill in Wausau next. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Larry. Say, I heard this on a Minnesota station, but I don't want you to hold that against it. But they do. But it really held my interest. I'm a salesman. I'm on the road a lot. I listen to public radio 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to get this suggestion to you. It's a program. They had a state trooper on every week. And I'm not saying you'd have to do that every week, but once a month or 2 months. But they did traffic issues. A lot of people do not know the correct way to travel, and it's amazing how informative and interesting it was.
Huh.
And, you know, as far as traveling, just little things like, you know, pulling out into an intersection to make a turn, or what the procedure is on how to use the passing lane on a road on a four-lane highway. I just wanted to get that through to you, and you take it from there.
I like that idea, too, and I think we can get somebody to do that because I'm out on the road enough. I probably make some mistakes myself. But
it's very informative, I thought it would be, you know, get boring after a while, but I've listened to it a couple of times, and it doesn't. There's people that call in all the time, and there's different situations come up, and, you know, there's passing lanes. I even had to ask a local policeman about, you're on a passing lane and you're going on, you're on one lane and then there's a passing lane with, there's two lanes coming towards you on the other side.
Yeah.
And there's no yellow line if it was legal to pass. You know, and I didn't know that. And it took my friend had to research it. And it is legal to pass for me in the one lane to go into the other lane if there's nobody coming or if there's somebody not in the passing lane on the coming towards me.
Yeah.
As long as there's no yellow line. If there's a yellow line, but, you know, that was an interesting question that happens a lot. They're building a lot more of these passing lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to get that to you. I listen to you a lot. I love your program.
Well,
go ahead.
I appreciate your call. I think, you know, this is absolutely something. We had a safety engineer, traffic safety engineer on in the past. Maybe try to find him. Or a state patrol, one or the other. They have to know what they're doing. That's for sure.
Yeah, the advantage of having a local officer though is he's out on the road all the time. You know,
yep.
I'm not saying that the traffic engineer wouldn't know what he's doing, but
yep.
There's a lot of other issues besides you know, the traffic, exactly the engineer's department. So thanks for everything.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Thank you very much for calling. I like the idea. Mike in Wausau, we're on to you now. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Hey, I'm curious about getting a little more information specifically about the extension. I don't know if every town that has a campus has an extension office that you sometimes refer to, like you'll say, I'll go to this extension and for this pamphlet, but maybe get an expert on just about the extension, because I know every once in a while I get a flyer about some special event or some mini course they offer, and I'd be curious on, you know, finding out more about the extension and the opportunities that provides.
All right. Yeah, there's an extension office in every county of the state, and we sometimes take that for granted that everybody knows all that, and when in fact they don't. So,
yeah, including me.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. Kevin in Tomahawk. Go to you now. Hi, Kevin.
Good afternoon, Larry. I got a question if we could have a show on the ice caves up by Apostle Islands. And then something kind of related, maybe dog mushing in Wisconsin, which I guess is very popular.
Mm-hmm. We just talked about the ice caves. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was.
I must have missed that one. I'm sorry.
And dog mushing. Oh, my goodness. Well, you're a day late and a dollar short there, Kevin.
All right. I'll look it up online.
All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot for calling. Actually, to let you know, they were discussed in part on a show I did yesterday. We didn't spend the whole show on ice caves and mushing, but it did come up yesterday on the show. Rachel in Green Bay, on to you now. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I would love to hear some kind of show on illegal fireworks.
Oh.
I have horses. I have a farm just outside of Green Bay, and at all times of the year, the neighbors are lighting off fireworks, the illegal kind that can legally be sold but aren't legally supposed to be used. And when you call the sheriff's department, they're like, oh, you know, well, we really aren't going to do anything about it. It's not a big deal. Well, from the fireworks being lit off, and it's not like the neighbors notify me so I can get my horses put inside, I now have a $15,000 show mare that's ruined because she had a tendon injury that won't heal.
Oh.
And I don't think that these people that are lighting off these fireworks understand that, okay, they're, you know, upsetting not only my horses, but people's dogs and people who have babies that are trying to sleep. And the fact that, like in my pasture where we grow the hay,
mm-hmm.
It took us almost 3 weeks to get all of the debris and unexploded powder and stuff like that out of the field because they were blowing it off and the wind was depositing the debris in our field.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm thinking, you know, if I can't get somebody to do something by asking them directly, if you guys talk about it on the radio and make it an issue, maybe it'll be taken more seriously.
All right. I appreciate that call. You know, did you know which neighbor did that to you?
Yeah.
The mayor got hurt?
Yep.
Man, I'd almost consider taking that person to court.
Yeah, I talked to an attorney, and they're like, oh, well, it's really subjective, and, you know, it's not his fault that that's the way your horse reacted, and only one of them got hurt, so it's, you know, something to do with how reactive that horse is, and
oh,
I was
boy.
Just...
Oh, man. Well, thanks, Rachel, for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, man, what the problems that are... Lots of problems out there, and some that we just don't see coming. Steve in Plymouth, it's up to you now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, I was wondering if you could do a show on the Supreme Court case that made it possible for corporations to hijack the 14th Amendment, which applied individual rights of persons to states. It was after the abolishment of slavery. And it has made it possible for corporations to influence our government in ways that would make the founders ill. And it was all because of the court reporter writing a head note at the top of the page, and it has been forever interpreted as being part of the case, which it wasn't, and it was never intended to be, but it established case precedent accidentally. And you can find out a lot about it on a website called ReclaimDemocracy.org.
ReclaimDemocracy.org.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very .org. Okay. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Mary in Partyville, on to you now. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Hello, and Happy New Year.
To you as well.
If I would like to see that slogan, the American dream, picked apart. I hear it so much. It's everywhere. And I'd like to know where it originated, who it originated from, and why is it being so loosely used, even by the president-elect?
Well, that's a good it's a good question. I'm not sure, Mary, why it is, but I've written it down, and we'll see what we can do. Thank you for calling. Rick in Wisconsin Rapids, on to you now. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I know you do a lot of shows on renewable energy and the green economy, and we certainly are hearing a lot about that in the news lately. Another perspective or another way maybe to have a program about it would be there's a technical school in central Wisconsin, Mid-State Technical Institute, and they've just started three new programs on training people in the new green economy or renewable energy. So it might be kind of interesting to kind of put some nuts and bolts of just what kind of opportunities are going to, you know, be out there in the upcoming years in the new green economy. And I think if you would just go to their website, Mid-State Technical College, you probably could get one of their instructors or, you know, their dean to, you know, talk about their programs and what they're perceiving as what the opportunities are going to be out there in the future.
Is it Mid-State Technical Institute or Technical College?
I think it's college now.
College.
Yeah.
Okay. I wrote down.
And they just
started
this last fall. They just started three programs in biofuels and installing wind and solar. And then next fall, I believe they're going to start three additional programs in that field. So it's relatively, you know, new development in the state.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that suggestion. And as I appreciate all of the suggestions that we've had here on the show, man, lots of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, there must be at least 20 or 25 program ideas. So we've got you're making our job, Jim Packard's job in particular, because he does most of the work around here. You're making his job a whole lot easier. And I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody. Shoot us an email if you've got some more ideas, and we'll be glad to take them under consideration and follow them up as we can. And thanks very much for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.